Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. Spring has come on awfully suddenly there. Just about 2 weeks ago, there was still ice on the lake, and now this past week, it got up into the 90s, people running around in shorts and T-shirts, new birds coming to the bird feeder, the juncos and the purple finches, whom we have not seen before. And the smell of manure is in the air. And the lunch hour at the Chatterbox Cafe is very, very short. People are anxious to get back and get their work done, to clean out their garages and to rake their yards and to repair the screen windows, the one that the cat climbed up, and to get it all done. Carl Krebsbach's brother-in-law, Lyle, a man who is known in town as he who does not fix things, bought a garden tiller by mail order, and it arrived, and he has been trying to put the blades together. Did it out behind his garage so that nobody could see him, but they could hear him. You could hear him cursing. He got down to the last two screws and the last two nuts and then realized that they were the wrong ones and that he would have to start all over again. And he let out this terrible primal cry like an animal caught on barbed wire. And people perked up their ears. They knew what it was and they thought about going over to help him, but they didn't do it. Person is entitled to his own experiences. And incompetence is a cross that simply must be borne. Nobody else should carry it for you. Graduation is coming so quickly. It's a month away, but for parents of the graduating class, it is like tomorrow to see these children prepare to leave the nest, the brood getting ready to fly. Children who it seemed just months ago, a few years ago, were out playing starlight, moonlight in the yard. And then you walked into the house one day and they were trying on your hat and trying on your jacket, seeing how they looked as you. And then they were practicing their signatures. They get something dignified, maybe using an initial instead of their embarrassing first name. And then they're seniors, and they go off and earn all sorts of distinctions. Their teachers encourage them. They go off to the state speech tournament, and some are in the state choir, and they win prizes. And we try not to encourage them too much for fear that we'll spoil them. And they'll become vain and self-centered. And they'll forget who they are. And they'll go off someplace and they'll wear leopard skin. And they'll go to tanning parlors. And they'll talk about postmodernism. So we try not to encourage them when they go off and win a prize in the storytelling event for their story called How the Lion Came to Lie Down with the Lamb, or their persuasive speech. And then this brown manila envelope comes into the house and you notice it. The Tollefson boy who's graduating has sent off to a school called the Murray Hill School of Communications Arts. It's on West 31st Street in New York City, Suite 410. And the parents look and they know what's in here because they've seen the ad in Lutheran Youth magazine. 14 lessons by cassette tape. Costs $969. There's a cartoon in the ad. It's a cartoon of a young man who's just finished a speech and is standing beside the podium, and he's getting a standing ovation. And the man next to him at the dais is whispering in his ear, "Didn't you go to Yale?" And the young man is thinking, the little bubbles come up to the balloon over his head. He's thinking, "Thanks, Murray Hill." How do you intervene with this young person? These are Lutheran people. These are modest, sensible people. They don't want to see their children go off and make fools of themselves. And here, Daryl and Marilyn Tollerud, their daughter, Mary, tells them that now she's to be called Maria. She's sent off to modeling school, and they've sent her a brochure. It's the Murray Hill School of Modeling and the Film Arts. It's on West 31st Street. It's in Suite 411. She's all excited about modeling school. In just about 9 weeks, for about $4,000, you can learn all about makeup and doing your hair and about movement and about photography and about lighting. And something in this brochure sets off the parent alarm. And they want to tell her, just a sensible word of advice. You don't need to go to school to become a model. It doesn't depend on that. You can't become a writer by going off to a creative writing program. And you can't become a model by going to modeling school. It all depends on something in your face, something in your genetics. And either you are or you're not. You hang around people who are in modeling, and you meet people, and somebody looks at you, and one day somebody takes your picture. And they look at the picture and they see something charismatic in you that you never could have learned anywhere from anybody. Something you inherited from your great-grandmother Oberg, something in the cheekbones, something in the face, your hairline. And it just happens to be the look that they're looking for this year. Last year, it wouldn't have done. Last year, they were looking for the feral orphan look. And now this year, they're looking for the Norwegian goddess look, and there you have it. And so, you are a model. You don't need to learn how to do your hair. They'll do your hair for you. They'll take care of the lighting. You don't need to learn how to walk or parade or anything. They'll show you all of that. They'll tell you where to go and where to look and what to look like, and you just do what they say. School won't help you. But the parents don't say this. Everybody's entitled to their own experience. How could we ever have known when we set out to be parents that it would be so terrifying and come down to this awful moment where they all get set to go off? They go out to sea in these boats that are very poorly constructed. Climb up on top of the garage roof wearing these wings that are made of chicken feathers and paraffin and get set to jump. And you want to say, wait, but they'll have to go off and do it. Jump and break their leg. And they'll have a limp for the rest of their lives. They'll have a limp just like your limp, in fact. Lutheran people are sensible people. They're dutiful people. Many Lutheran couples stay after the wedding reception to help clean up. They were brought up to do that. These are a modest people. Many Lutherans do not feel that they can put peas into the tuna noodle hot dish. It seems extravagant, show-offy. A self-conscious people who always strive to do the right thing, a people who believe in prayer, and yet if you ask them to pray, would turn pale and would go into the next room and get out paper and a pencil and would draft a prayer. And by the time they finished it, the food would be cold. So we have a pastor who does this for us. A people who love to sing hymns, but if you give them a new one they haven't seen before, if the choir director puts it in the bulletin, mimeographed, and they see it, they don't sing because they don't want to make mistakes in front of other people. So what was supposed to be a hymn turns out to be a moment of meditation. These are people who, when they go into the hospital, would dearly love for the pastor to come and visit them. But of course, they would never, ever let him know that they were there. They would rather die. And oftentimes they do. So do these children know where they come from? Know who they are? Who knows? But it's spring and they're about to go off to whatever awaits them out there. We must improve this golden time when hearts awake so shyly, softly. Songs were made to sing while we're young. Every day is spring while we're young. None can refuse. Time flies so fast. Too dear to lose and too sweet to last. Though it may be just for today, share our love we must while we may. So blue the skies, such sweet surprise shines before our eyes while we're young. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, all the children are above average.